This is the Music Innovation Podcast. Today, with Simon from the DJ Duo and him. Welcome to the Music Innovation Podcast. I'm Florian Willisch. In this podcast, I interview people from the music industry to discuss the newest tools and techniques. I'm interested in uncovering how innovation can make the music industry better for artists and fans. Today, I speak with Simon from the DJ Duo and him. Since 2010, and him have been playing clubs around the world and releasing music. In 2013, they produced a remix of the song Wine and Chocolate by Theophilus London that got them quite a lot of attention, and they've gone from strength to strength ever since. Now they play 150 shows a year and are constantly on the road. In my opinion, they have a slightly different approach to the industry and certainly their relationship to their fans. And that's why I thought that it would be really interesting to hear their opinion on these subjects. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episodes. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can reach me via the website musicinnovationpodcast.com. Enjoy the interview. Hello, everyone. I'm sitting here with Simon from And Him. He's one of the two DJ members of Yes And Him, and he was so kind enough to sit down with me to talk a little bit about innovation in the music industry, or in this case, you know, how DJs use innovation, or what kind of tools they might use on a day-to-day basis. I thought it was interesting to speak with an artist directly. So thank you for sitting down with me, Simon.
You're welcome.
So we're here in Berlin. I think, why don't we start with you just telling me a little bit, you know, where you come from, and I guess how you actually became a DJ at first.
Yeah. So I'm a DJ for like maybe 20 years now. I started very young, like at the age of 13 maybe, where I bought my first equipment, like turntables and mixer, and started scratching and doing hip-hop music.
Okay.
And then slowly but steady, I started to play in clubs, and also started to play outside of my hometown, like other German cities, and then other European cities. And
that was with hip hop music.
Or that was now with hip hop. It was like in hip hop, it was only like regional. Let's say the Cologne, okay, where I was from, like this area. But then I started to play house and techno music when I was around 18, maybe.
Okay.
And this is when I started touring a little bit, because I was also a resident DJ at a Cologne club.
Ah, right.
And so yeah, I just started to play on a frequent basis, and I also started to produce during that time, like now maybe a little bit later when I was like in the early 20s. Then like 9 years ago, I started this music project And Him with my partner Tobias. Like, we're a DJ duo, but also a producer duo. And we started to work together like 10 years ago, and had our career started in 2010. And this is when it became really international, like worldwide bookings, a lot of releases, a lot of musical output, and also some smaller hits for the radio.
Was that national radio, or that was international straight away?
No, we had, I mean, it was never planned that our songs became hits. And I mean, when I say hit, it's really small hits. It's not like Madonna hits. It's
okay, yeah.
It's small hits, but like radios would play it all over the world. Okay. Some more, some less. But yeah, we had like 3-4 slightly more commercial tracks, so people might know our music, or even though if they're not familiar with electronic music.
Okay. I actually, you know, remember that when we met, which was before Andim existed, you were still mixing, I think, a lot of hip hop, or you were actually mixing it with electronic music, which I found quite interesting at that time. And I remember that you used to do a lot of scratching as well, even in your electronic sets. Do you consider that that has had an influence on your success?
I wouldn't say it had an influence on my success, but like, you know, I just came from a different background, you know, in hip hop music, it's all about competing with other DJs and like showing your skills and tricks.
Yeah.
And in techno music, it's very basic mixing. It's not like DJs have certain super moves they do besides of raising their arm. But it was definitely, I think in the beginning, it was definitely an eye catcher and something people would remember. Like, did you see this? He's scratching. It's like he has skills, you know. I think it was just a little add on to the live shows to make the people, remember you. But it was very naturally. I never used it as a tool to like gain attention. It was more it was more like me coming from this hip hop background and still being in a kind of transition between both worlds, between hip hop and techno.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm like not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just it got a little bit old. And still, and also I used to overdo it a little bit.
Okay.
Especially when I was too excited, I wouldn't stop scratching. And then, you know, in the moment you do it, you think you're super cool and like it's very good. But then afterwards, if you watch the filming of the night, or like listen to the recording, then you find out, okay, that's not so good. Maybe you should take it a little bit more easy on the scratching.
Do you have an idea what made you famous, or what was it that made you guys special compared to others? Because there's a lot of DJs,
of course,
you know, and as you said, actually, electronic music is not super technical. So.
Yeah. It's that's such a, like, to give an answer to this question, that's the holy grail, actually, because everybody would like to know, like, not even, of course, not would like to know why we became famous, but in general, how you can become famous. But I think it's a different, like it's a mixture of different things. First of all, I think it's a lot about timing. Like,
okay,
because when we started, the music we did was like very fresh in terms of like new.
Okay,
it was new sounds and a little bit of like new arrangements, and also like it was just different to what other people did during that time. But a lot of people do different things, you know, like, but still it was the perfect timing for this type of music. And then I think in the end it all comes down to the music itself. It's not enough that the music is different, but it has to be good. I mean, it's like a very subjective thing, but you know, a lot of people liked our music, and we had a great output. So we were releasing music nonstop, and
all right.
We were very, very motivated, and did a lot of music during that time. And then it's also a big portion of just luck, you know, being lucky, because No one can say if a record is becoming a hit or not. It just happened. And then we had I'd say in 2 years we had like three big hits, which we didn't plan. But of course, this has a very big impact on not only on the listeners, like the growing number of listeners, but also within the scene, because like everybody starts to know you then, you know, like, oh, who are these guys? Oh, this song is also from them. And like, and then it's becoming a little bit like a snowball, like, you know, because the more you release and the more people like your releases, and then other DJs play these releases, and then promoters hear other DJs playing these releases, and then they are like, okay, wow, we need to book these guys because they're making great tunes. And then you come and play, and then the club in the like is busy, and people have a good time, and then they book you again. And then it's like, this is the snowball.
Yeah, I see.
You know, like then, you know, like, also, our personality was different. We were like more the funny guys, a little comedian, had the funny pictures. We're not taking ourselves so serious. And I think all this together, like having good productions, being good live performers, being like guys with a personality and with like a different approach to the scene and to the music. Yeah. I think all of this together helped us to become famous, if you want to say so.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that was kind of a little bit what I was wondering if you sort of, you know, thought of that. I do think that your humor has had a huge impact on your image, I guess, but also on the fact that people know you. And like, just like on my notes here, you know, sort of the next question was, I wrote, why does everyone love you? and you know, the reason why I actually wrote that like that is that was my experience when I speak to people about you guys, really from all kinds of, I had, you know, especially at Apple, you know, my colleagues from France, from the US, from England, from, they were not necessarily like, I'm crazy about Anthem. But always when I said, oh yeah, Anthem, they were like, oh yeah, I love Anthem. Mm. And I think that this approach of not taking yourself seriously, of being happy to sort of make fun of yourself as well, it was something very refreshing in a scene that likes to take themselves, not only electronic music, I think music in general tends to think that it's very important. I guess, you know, for this podcast, I'm trying to find innovation in any way.
Yeah.
And I feel that is already a sort of innovation in your case.
Yeah.
And you were talking about social media. And of course, that's what projects who you are, I guess. How do you handle social media? Is it something that you just do organically? Is it difficult for you? Or how does it work?
So it's like... when we started, it was all about Facebook. And this Facebook is not relevant anymore. Like, it's really like nobody uses it anymore. And it's all about Instagram nowadays.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's like social media for us in our career is like super, super important, because as you already said, people, like, part of our success is that people really can relate to us. Like, we're I think because we're authentic, you know. It's like we never we always give the fans the feeling that we're one of them, which is actually what we are, you know. Like, we never pretend to be better or whatever, so everybody can talk to us. And like, and it's also the reflection on social media, and especially Instagram, because Instagram is so direct, also with the Insta stories.
Yeah.
And so they can, like, what we do is or especially me, I film myself quite often during the day, and just let the people be part of my day, you know, like talk about what I do and talk about myself. But also, I mean, sometimes I film when I'm super drunk and I'm talking the weirdest stuff or making fun of myself, being silly, laughing a lot. This is not a concept of mine. It's just like I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And the more the people love it, the more fun I have, you know. And it's like the reactions of the people is like super positive, like 100% positive. Uh-huh. And for me, this is like the best tool to promote things.
Yeah.
And also the best tool to do marketing, like, or to like promote ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's very, very, very organic for me. And it's like, because I also like it a lot.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because a lot of colleagues, like DJs, talking to me and say like, Simon, what's your secret? I wish I would be a little bit like you. I wish I could do the same, like post the same funny stuff and talk to the people and everything. And it's just not for everyone, you know, like, because of course everyone is different. And if you're an introverted person, then you would not go on Instagram and start filming your day, you know, or start filming when you are in the bathtub or something like this. And so of course you can learn things and you can learn how to communicate with your audience and with your fans,
mm-hmm.
because this is really important. And especially nowadays, it's like, it's almost as important as the music you do.
Yeah.
It's not like, for me as an artist, it's really hard to say because I wish it was different. I wish it was only the music, you know, but the reality is it's a lot about who you are, what you do. Like, you need a personality. And by the end of the day, this is the most important thing, because there's so many other artists and so many DJs, so many music. So you have to always stand out, like, but in a very true way, you know. It's like people would recognize if you play something, you know, like if you pretend to be someone else.
Yeah. I guess it's quite interesting with you as well that you are two people, but on social media, people see mainly you, right?
Yeah.
Tobias is not too involved in that. That's because he's not too interested.
Exactly. First of all, he doesn't like Instagram.
Okay.
It's like it's too much for him, which I can totally understand.
Yeah.
And he is just, we're two different characters, you know. Mm-hmm. He's very introverted and he likes to be alone and he likes to be in the studio and like being nerdy. And I'm like extroverted. I love to talk to people. I love to make fun. I love to, you know, just being silly all day.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect mix, actually. But it's really, you can't really force it. But if you're not able, if you're on your own and you're not able to to be good at social media, you at least have to learn a little bit, because it's mm-hmm. also, you don't have to be funny at all or like whatever, but fans and people, they just want nowadays, like in this today's society, they want the feeling to be close to the artist.
Yeah.
It's like, it's super important.
I guess in the idea as well about like being two, and that kind of helps you with social media. Do you think that also helps you in the whole traveling and just the lifestyle that you have to have, like being two people instead of one?
Yeah, it definitely helps on one hand, but we also have to share the money, which is not
very good point. Yeah.
It really helps, of course. I mean, it also depends on your character, but of course, we travel the whole world. We like for the last few years, we had over 200 flights a year.
Mm-hmm.
And play 120, 250 shows.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you do everything on your own, then you can become very, very lonely.
And yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and so if you're too, even though you're not talking much to each other because you're tired or because you, whatever, you're not in a good mood, but you're always sharing the emotions, mm-hmm. whether they're good or bad, or whether you're tired or like upset about anything because the flight is delayed or whatever, but you're sharing all these emotions, and that's like super, super important for us as well. It makes it way more easier.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your label.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how that came to be, why you did it? And
yeah, we started in end of 2016. We started our own label, Super Friends Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we started it because we wanted to have a playground for our music and for our like vision of electronic music.
Yeah.
Without making any
compromises.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because you know, the scene is really, you know, sometimes you're doing things only because you want other DJs to play your music, or you want you're producing music for this label because it's a good label, and then you start producing like tracks which you would never actually produce. So do you understand? It's like it's becoming, sometimes it's becoming a little bit like making music and being creative becomes only a business, you know, like for, you do music for business reasons. And we really, really didn't want to do that because we could feel like that we already started to think like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, no, we don't want to do this anymore. We want to be totally free in our creativity. And so we started the label. So we can just release whatever we feel like is good without thinking about, is it the right fit for this label, or would this DJ play it? It's just, we have to be happy with it and then just release it. This was the main reason behind it, I would say.
And do you, and have you signed specific artists to that label, or is it you just invite?
No, it's actually only for our music. So that's very selfish.
Oh, but okay.
Also, no, like, because we thought about it a lot, if you want to do a label for other artists, which is super cool, right? But I think as soon as you start to release other people's music, then it also again becomes a business, you know, because then you have to take care of the artist and promote the record, and then you have to think about the numbers. Is the artist selling enough? Do you make money with the artist? And all these things. And then it's again, then it's like, then you're not free anymore. At least we think so.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, if we do music, like if we only produce and release our own music, then we don't care if we, like, you know, I mean, of course it's nice to sell a lot of records, but we would always do video, music videos and like promotion and cover designs, artwork, whatnot. And if we lose money in the end, then it's, the money is not lost because we invested everything in us and our product in the moment, you know? And so we just decided to stick with this idea, just to release our own music. But what we do is we're inviting remixers. So there's other artists remixing our tracks. Not for every record we do, but for some. So in the end, we have other artists on the label, but not with original tracks, but remixes.
All right. I want to move to a new section. Basically, it's again in the idea of kind of finding out a bit which tools you use for different parts of your artist life. Let's start with, for example, social media. Is there any specific softwares or tools that you use? I'm thinking, for example, that there's some, I don't know if it's called aggregators or something, where you can do a post and it goes to different social networks. So how do you use social media?
I mean, I use it very direct. So most of the time, and I use Instagram.
Okay.
But you can also, of course, at least in Instagram, you can do a post, and then also at the same time you can schedule the, or not schedule, but you can post this on Twitter and Facebook at the same time you do the Instagram post. So this is something you can do. And for Facebook, we actually only use it to promote things. So
okay,
because Facebook limited the reach like dramatically, so it's not fun anymore to use it. You know, we have like over 200,000 fans, and if we post a photo, then 100 fans will see it. You know, it's like super stupid.
That's not the case with Instagram.
No, it's not. Not yet. I mean, who knows? But like, at least for the posts, I'm not sure. But the Insta stories, you can always see how many people watch it. And it's a lot of people. It's like, this is a super good tool to promote anything you want. Not even yourself, but like also products. Like if we have a new single or if we play a show, then we always can promote it. And with Facebook, we do these paid posts from time to time to also to promote events or to get more attention to a show or to a new single, something like that.
Do you do that yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's not like a label that does it for you.
No, we do everything on our own because we also want to have full control over our content. But that's... In the end, that's it more or less. You know, you can also schedule posts, of course. Yeah. You can say like, yeah, next week I want to post a flyer of this event, but it's like,
And no Snapchat.
We don't use Snapchat. It's not a thing in Germany, actually. It's not. And also like when Instagram started to have all these filters, then Snapchat was, for at least for me, it was not necessary to use it anymore because this... Instagram combines all the features of the other social networks more or less.
Ripped off everyone.
Yeah.
And what about sort of booking tools or kind of, I'm wondering if there's tools that for tracking your different gigs, your travel calendars?
We have also on Facebook, there's all our shows, like,
But for you yourself as well? As in, like, organizing your trips when you travel?
No.
That's what I mean, like, you from the artist side.
No, we have an agency, like, we have a booking agency, and they take care of all the, like, flights and hotels and stuff. And
how do they share that information with you?
What is it? Yeah, they put it on Facebook, like there is this event rider.
Yeah.
And so people have an overview where we play. And then they also put it on Resident Advisor, which is another, like, probably the biggest site for electronic underground music. It's like a...
Yeah.
And we do, I create flyers for every month, for each month. Like tour flyers where all our shows are written down. And then this is also something we promote on the social media. And then from week to week, of course, we promote we play in Dubai on Friday and then Saturday in Istanbul. So I started a few days ago, like after the weekend, I started to promote these shows. So every week I would promote another weekend.
I see.
Yeah.
So then in your, as a traveler, because you are an extreme traveler, I guess.
True.
I personally use something called TripIt, where I've got like all my flights and things like that. Do you use anything?
This is like our agency is taking care of this stuff, and what they do is they put all the information in our in iCall.
I see.
And so we have it in our calendar, everything calendar we need. And everything. Everything we need.
All
the information.
Very simple.
Yeah, it's super simple, but very effective. It's just
that works.
That was perfect before us. Yeah.
Is there any discovery tools for music discovery that you use? How do you discover music, I guess? That's my question.
I mean, we get a lot of promos from labels and
not
DJs.
Not too much.
Way too much.
Yeah,
exactly. It's ridiculous. I mean, so we only actually listen to the stuff from labels or people we know, which
okay.
in the end is of course not ideal, because then
yeah.
we wouldn't we wouldn't discover yeah. every cool track, but like it's just too much. So we get a lot of promos. And then, of course, there is some websites where they sell electronic, like
yeah.
digital electronic music, like MP3s or
mm-hmm.
WAV formats, like Beatport, for example,
okay.
Or TrackSource. This is like the biggest two websites. And then there is also like on social media, that's something which is getting bigger and bigger. Like for example, Instagram sites like Tale of Clubs.
Okay.
And they post nonstop live videos of DJs playing music, and most of the time unreleased music, or like music which is coming out soon, you know? So they promote from a fan perspective what will be the next big thing, what will be the next big hit, you know?
That's really cool. Yeah.
And so they have a lot of followers, and so you just check it out every day, like, oh, what is this guy playing now? Oh, this is good. Oh, the reaction of the people is amazing. And so then you can like a little bit dig and search uh-huh, uh-huh. and find out about the next big hits coming out.
All right, that's really interesting. And in Beatport, you know, one of
yeah.
the stores, do you, I mean, I guess you can just dig around a bit, but
how it works is, of course, they have a Beatport itself is promoting new
yeah.
like new EPs, new albums and whatnot, and they have different genres, like 20 different electronic
yeah.
genres, and then you have the top 10 and top 100 of these genres.
Okay.
But also you can have your personalized for the latest releases of the labels and artists you follow. So you can follow on these
like a feed from
exactly yeah a feed, and then you can see, oh, this label just released an EP. I wanna hear it.
I see.
Or,
all right.
or your favorite artist or the artist you follow.
Yeah.
He has something new out, so you have your personalized little store in the store itself.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And then about tools in terms of mixing, is there any tricks or some secret machines you use there that?
We are very basic DJs, I would say.
Uh-huh.
So we play with four CDJs,
uh-huh.
And like USB sticks.
Yeah.
And it's all digital. And that's it. We have a mixer which we prefer. And this mixer has like all kinds of effects, like filters or delays or
yeah.
flangers or whatever. And that's basically it. But there is a lot of tools, but like, not really new innovations, I would say. So more or less every club in the world has the same equipment.
Yeah.
It's just like every year or every second year they would bring like new CDJs. Like they would make it a little bit better from year to year.
Yeah.
This is the only thing.
Okay.
I mean, you can always like bring your own like delay effects or whatever, but we are based like really basic DJs, old school DJs. So
yeah,
don't.
If it works.
Yeah.
Is there some gigs or some festivals that you would consider being kind of more innovative than most?
Innovative in which terms?
in any way you you'd like? I mean, one, I don't know, one sort of obvious one that I could think of maybe is something like, well, some people would say Burning Man. I don't know if you feel that that's innovative, but
I mean, there's
just maybe places that do things differently.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of festivals who are doing a very good job, but it's, I think, you know, there are some very, very professional festivals, like big, with like 100,000 people maybe, and big stages, amazing production, laser show, whatnot, you know, like, or Tomorrowland, it's like Disneyland, you know, it's like very, very impressive to be there. It's huge, and they sell out 200,000 tickets in, I don't know, 2 days. I don't even know. It's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you have more and more these very, like, it's the exact opposite, like festivals where every stage is made out of wood, you know, and it's like it's in the middle of nature, you know, in the woods or like by a lake or something like this. And no sponsoring.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't even announce the lineup before, you know, and they would still sell out every year.
Yeah.
And they would also still trying to create new stages every year and make the experience for the people always interesting and always fresh. So there's different angles to answer this question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on the one hand, also these festivals become more and more professional.
Yeah.
So this is what you can say, like, the whole it's like the scene is getting bigger and bigger every year, and especially in America, for example, or in or in South America, like all over the world, it's getting bigger and bigger and more professional. But just in, there's different ways to do it. But it's that's my answer.
Very good. We're moving towards the end of the interview. One question I like to ask always is if, you know, again, you're basically, I mean, you were in the music industry and dealing with many, many parts of it on and off stage all the time. Is there any, you know, any point where you feel like, oh man, this part is broken? Like, why has no one fixed this thing? Like, why is there not a solution for this? Every 2 days I have to deal with this. Is there anything you could think of?
I always, that's a real DJ story now.
Yeah.
But I often think, because, you know, it works like this. You come somewhere by plane.
Yeah.
And then the promoter or a driver is picking you up from the airport and then bringing you to the hotel or to the festival or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there is no pickup. Like, they come too late, like half an hour or an hour too late and blah. And this is like, I really don't want to be the person now to like, it sounds very like ridiculous talking about this kind of stuff. But if you are a traveling DJ and like have 5 shows in a row and then 4 out of 5 times there is no driver, then it's very annoying. So I always say to Toby, my partner, I always say, if our career ends one day, I'm gonna start a driver company.
Oh, really? DJ driver
to pick up the driver, the DJs on time.
And that's but that's really interesting. I mean, I think this is exactly. It's just a part that you know that other people don't live, and when you're at an airport all the time, I can understand that you don't want to waste even half an hour.
But that's a really detailed look into the DJ world. Like, I mean, this is probably not interesting for anyone else. But like, if you, it's hard to answer if there. as I said, the scene is getting so professional,
mm-hmm.
and so is the club shows and the festivals and like everything. It's just a very, very, very big business nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still passion and hopefully passion for most of the people who are involved in this scene, but it's also a business which makes probably billions nowadays.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's doing pretty good, so I don't really know if there is something we could fix. Maybe the DJs could ask for less money.
really?
Maybe this is something. Because it's getting crazy, I think, a little bit.
Oh, really?
I really have no problem with that, to earn money.
yeah.
But I think some DJs could just chill a little bit, you know, and like try to maintain loving what they do instead of just trying to get the biggest fee out of everything.
All right.
This is something I would like to fix, maybe.
Interesting. Thanks a lot. I've got two final questions that should go quite quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. One is, do you have any upcoming releases or any releases that you'd like to talk about for our listeners?
We finished one remix.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on new tracks at the moment.
Okay.
But nothing finished now, but we will definitely have new music by this summer. And we're motivated and we try to come up with new things. And like sometimes it takes a while to come up with or to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we started two or three very promising projects, tracks. And there's definitely a lot, not a lot, but there is new music coming this year for sure. Yeah.
And then a question I ask everyone is so apart from your own stuff, of course, is there one or two bands or tracks you'd like to recommend to our listeners spontaneously?
There's one remix I really love to play like for the last few months, like 2 or 3 months. And it's the band is called Rufus from Australia. And the remix is from Adam Port, who is like a Berlin-based DJ.
Okay.
But let me think about the track name.
You can give it to me later and I put all the links in the show notes anyways.
This is a very good track. And then what else do I like at the moment? I mean, I always like DJ Cozy, you know, that's like one of my favorites. Just put some of his tracks on and people will like it.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Simon, thanks a lot for taking the time. I thought it was really, really interesting, very different perspective to the industry. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So that was Simon from the DJ Duo and him. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I want to thank Simon a lot for taking the time and talking to me, sharing his thoughts. I thought it was really interesting to speak to, you know, artists that take the relationship with their fans really very authentically, and you know, use social media in a very pure way that way. So that was great. I hope you've learned something. I hope it was inspiring. Please let me know your thoughts. You can reach me via the website, musicinnovationpodcast.com, and do subscribe to this podcast too, so you get the next episodes into your podcasting app straight away. Thanks a lot for listening, and hope to hear you soon. Bye-bye.